Welcome back to the Ulama Profile. You with myself, Ubaidullah Bouda, and I'm with you, inshallah, for another hour or so. We're in the second part of the program. It's an open line, and you can give us a call, or you can send a message as well. We're discussing the great scholar and the great alim of deen that came out of Darul Uloom Dioban, Hazrat Mawlana Hussain Ahmad Madani Sahab, rahimahullah. And to speak about his lifestyle is Mawlana Ibrahim Ba'am. Mawlana, assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.
Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. And assalamu alaikum to all the listeners.
Mawlana, jazakallah for taking out your time. I know Thursday night is a busy night. You have preparation for your Jummah, etc. But Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala reward you. Mawlana, a great personality we discussed tonight, and one of the key figures that was involved against the English in India, as well as so many social aspects Mawlana Hussain Ahmad Madani was involved in. Where are we beginning tonight, Mawlana?
Yes, Mawlana, it's so difficult where to start off when we speak about the multiple and comprehensive nature of Hazrat Mawlana Hussain Ahmad Madani, rahimahullah. Maybe just to start off, that Mawlana was born a Sayyid whose lineage goes directly to our beloved Nabi Kareem sallallahu alaihi wasallam. At the age of 12, he was in Dioban where he completed his studies, took allegiance at the hands of Mawlana Gangohi rahmatullah alayhi. His family migrated to Hijaz in Makkah al-Mukarramah and Medina al-Munawwara, and he remained in Medina al-Munawwara. And he was only at the age of 22 when he was bestowed Khilafat by Sheikh al-Arab wal-Ajam, also known as Sheikh al-Hind, Mawlana Mahmud al-Hassan, rahimahullah. His name Madani was because of the fact that he remained in Medina al-Munawwara for many years. For 18 years, he taught hadith in the masjid of our beloved Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Many remarkable aspects with regard to it that has been related about his teaching of hadith in the Masjid al-Nabawi. And there are many dimensions with regard to the life of Mawlana Madani rahmatullah alayh that we will try and explore during the course of today's program. Well, one of the aspects is, and I think just to give you an example of what I'm trying to say, Mawlana Abul Hassan Nadwi rahimahullah had great amount of respect and love for Mawlana Madani rahmatullah alayh. And in one of his writings he says, I haven't seen a more comprehensive person than Mawlana Madani rahmatullah alayh. He was at one time a person who resisted colonialism. He was a mujahid, one who strove in the path of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. He was a political activist. He was a thinker, an author, a historian, a Sheikh al-Tafsir, a visionary, a Sheikh al-Tariqat, one who was also used to have disciples in the field of tasawwuf, and he was a Sheikh al-Hadith. And to give an example with regard to this multiple personalities of Mawlana Madani rahmatullah alayhi, one day someone narrated to Mawlana Thanvi rahmatullah alayhi. And of course, we are all aware of the difference of opinion that existed between Mawlana Madani rahmatullah alayhi and Mawlana Thanvi rahmatullah alayhi about the formation of Pakistan, something that we will make mention of as we go along. And despite that difference, there was a remarkable bond of love and respect between the two great personalities. So someone narrated to Mawlana Thanvi rahmatullah alayhi and trying to speak and thinking that because they had opposing views, therefore, Mawlana Thanvi will be happy by this. So he said, Mawlana Madani gives talks in political rallies. And thinking that in that way, Mawlana Thanvi rahmatullah alayhi would perhaps criticize him. And Mawlana Thanvi rahmatullah alayhi turned around and said, you saw him and you related about him speaking in political rallies, which he regarded to be part of deen and part of his responsibility. However, you did not see him teaching hadith in Darul Uloom Dioban up till midnight. So this was one of the aspects of Mawlana Madani rahmatullah alayhi. And you know, while we speak about the aspects of his resisting and being in the forefront in the resistance against the British were at that time had colonized India. And of course, we know that there's a certain degree of passion and there's a certain degree of aqidat and a certain degree of mark of respect that goes out towards people who have fought for freedom. We look at our South African example. You know, unfortunately, sometimes we seem to lose that. But of course, there is still in certain circles, people talk highly about those people who have what we will call struggle credentials. In a similar manner, amongst those people who had that type of credentials, who fought against the British colonialist, forefront of them was Sheikh ul-Hind rahmatullah alayh and Maulana Madni rahmatullah alayh. They didn't only take a token type of resistance. They were active in their resistance. So this, at this extent, that Sheikh ul-Hind rahmatullah alayh sent some of his students to various parts of the world to garner support against the British colonial type of occupation of India. So he sent Maulana Ubaidullah Sindhi rahmatullah alayh, and of course this was based on the fact that to fight and to resist the British, who were very strong at that time, you needed support of other people, you needed support of countries. So Maulana Sheikh ul-Hind rahmatullah alayh then sent Maulana Ubaidullah Sindhi to Kabul, to Yaghistan and to Afghanistan to be able to gain the support there of the country against and helping the people of India against British colonialism. Then Maulana Madni rahmatullah alayh and Sheikh ul-Hind themselves went to Hijaz. Hijaz was called a province in which that time was known as Hijaz, in which Makkah Mukarrama and Medina Munawwara were part of Hijaz. It was under the Ottoman Khilafat. And Maulana Madni rahmatullah alayh, Sheikh ul-Hind rahmatullah alayh, they went to Makkah and Medina to gain the support of the Ottoman Empire against the British. However, that time was the time of the decline of the Ottomans. And because of the decline, that particular aspect was such that when they came in there, they sought the protection and they got a very good hearing from the Ottomans who were in Makkah and Medina. But at that time, due to the decline and the revolt of the Arabs against the Ottoman Empire, the British were told about what Maulana Madni rahmatullah alayh and Sheikh ul-Hind rahmatullah alayh had come for. And in Taif, they were both arrested. And when they were arrested, Maulana Madni rahmatullah alayh then chose to be with Sheikh ul-Hind rahmatullah alayh, and they both were imprisoned in Malta for many years, maybe 2-3 years, against the British colonial aspirations in India. So this was one aspect of the life of Maulana Madni rahmatullah alayh, as being someone who took an active part against the British. And he had written books, and of course one of his very famous books was Naqsh-e Hayat. Now if you look at Naqsh-e Hayat, it is not only regard the biography of Maulana Madni rahmatullah alayh, but together it was also his visionary writing in which he identified the harms the British have wrought upon in India, Pakistan, the Indo-Pak subcontinent. He had come and said that look at the prosperity and the peace and stability that was in pre-partition times and how the British had come to plunder that particular land. So Maulana Madni rahmatullah alayh wrote the book and his whole biography, Naqsh-e Hayat, in which he has not only spoken about his own contribution or his own, but it was a visionary type of writing in which he explained people what the harm has been caused by the British who have colonized India. So that was one aspect of the life of Maulana Madni rahmatullah alayh.
Maulana, you made mention of one thing when they went to, with regards to garner support for the Ottoman Empire. But equally, they were very passionate about the Khilafat at that time and trying to salvage it right at the ending as well, Maulana.
Maulana Madni rahmatullah alayh was so passionate about the Ottoman Empire that he even learned the Turkish language. So he was pretty fluent in the Turkish language because he felt that there is a need for a Khilafat and there was a need for a central authority for the Ummah. Now, this is very interesting because if you were to later on see the life of Maulana Madni rahmatullah alayh, when the Ottoman Empire fell in, well, it was towards the beginning of the 20th century, in the 1908, for example, at that time it was very weak, although officially it was abolished in 1924. At that time, after 1924, and towards the formation of Pakistan, Maulana Madni Rahmatullah Ali, then looking at the realities of the ground, then changed his stance. And that is something that is quite remarkable and very visionary, as I will come on to make mention of it. But at that time, when the Ottoman Empire was still alive, not only Maulana Madni, but his ustad, Sheikh Ul Hind Rahmatullah Ali, they campaigned, and they not only campaigned, they made an active effort to try and gain financial support to keep the Turkish Ottoman Empire alive. And many people might not know, but Darul Uloom Deoband was closed for a week or so, in which the administration of Darul Uloom Deoband told the students, go back home and go and gather whatever funds you can accumulate in your villages and bring it back so that we could support the Ottoman Empire and the Ottoman Khilafat. Now that was how Maulana Madni Rahmatullah Ali was very, very passionate with regard to it. However, after the fall of the Ottoman Empire, Maulana Madni Rahmatullah Ali politically, especially towards the formation of Pakistan, he then came up and said a very amazing thing. I don't know if I should continue in that particular line, Mom.
Shimon, let's take it in that line, and we finish this aspect, and we carry on with the other aspects regarding
Maulana. The other aspect with regard to him was that because at that time there was a complete now change, the Ottoman Empire had fell, and then, you see, one of the aspects that were in fighting against the British, Maulana Hussein Ahmad Madni Rahmatullah Ali and his ustad, Sheikh Ul Hind Rahmatullah Ali, realized one thing, that Muslims were a minority in Indo-Pak, in the Indo-Pak subcontinent. And they felt that they would not be able to be successful. They would not be able to be successful in getting rid of the British until they garnered the support of the majority inhabitants, which were the Hindu community. So at that time, Maulana Madni Rahmatullah Ali, because of his passion against the British colonialists, he joined the Indian National Congress. Right? And not only did he join the Indian National Congress, it might come as a very great surprise that when the aspect of who must lead the Indian National Congress was, it was Maulana Sheikh Ul Hind Rahmatullah Ali who proposed the name of Gandhi, saying that because we need the support of the local and indigenous people who are the majority to rise up against the British, he nominated Gandhi to become the leader of the Indian National Congress. And when Gandhi became the leader of the Indian National Congress, he turned towards Sheikh Ul Hind and said, what should I do? So Sheikh Ul Hind Rahmatullah Ali said, take a train, go village to village, tell the people to resist and to rise up against the British and don't cooperate with the British. Because the British rule in India, it was dependent upon the cooperation of a certain group of people to maintain the colonialist aspirations. So if there was a wholesale boycott and there was no cooperation with them, then obviously they would not be able to govern. So that was the aim. And in this particular regard, I must say that many a times you might be quite surprised, but Maulana Madni Rahmatullah Ali was of the view that communal harmony between people of one country must be given the greatest amount of emphasis. He used to say that your enemy is not the person who is staying with you as a neighbor, even if he is not of your same faith. He is not your enemy. He is staying in the same country like you. He has the same aspirations with regard to the prosperity of the country. He wants the good of the country. He wants to remain in peace in the country. He is not your enemy. Your enemy is the one who is trying to control your country from abroad. He is your enemy. And with regard to this, there were various accusations leveled against Maulana Madni Rahmatullah Ali. And he was of the view, and he used to say, that Allah Ta'ala did not prohibit us in the Holy Quran with regard to ishtirake amal. And he used to say, this particular aspect of لا تتخذوا اليهود والنصارى أولياء, do not regard the non-Muslims as very close friends and as people who are your protectors. He used to say that is different from having a joint strategy in fighting for the prosperity of the country in which you are living in. He used to place a lot of emphasis upon harmony between the people living in one country. And in this particular way, then, you know, when it became very difficult for the British to continue governing India because of the Quit India movement, because of the people rising up against the British, then of course came the very famous split in terms of what must happen, whether Pakistan must be formed or must the Muslims remain as part of one big country, India, Pakistan. And Maulana Hussain Ahmad Mahdi Rahmatullah Ali was of the view that Pakistan must not be formed. Now that was a genuine difference of opinion. There is no clear-cut wahi whether Pakistan must be formed or not formed, whether Muslims must remain in Indo-Pak as one country or go and form Pakistan. Here came the difference of opinion between him and Maulana Thani Rahmatullah Ali, who was in favor of the formation of Pakistan. Maulana Hussain Ahmad Mahdi Rahmatullah Ali, and this was, I think, in many ways, his political genius. He was of the view that if Muslims remain in Indo-Pak, the entire India-Pak, Bangladesh, becomes one country, and Muslims remain in there, their property, their wealth, their life will be honored. He also had proposed, and he had also got accepted from the Indian National Congress, great amount of concessions for Muslims, and despite the aspects of percentage, given the fact that he had campaigned so tirelessly for communal harmony, because of his track record when he spoke with regard to what should be the understanding and what type of political concessions in terms of leadership, etc., should be given to Muslims. He had received very favorable concessions, and he was of the view that Muslims will remain better if there was an undivided subcontinent. And one of the amazing things that he had written, and you read this in his biography, sometimes, you know, we take for granted that these people who are ulama, who are sitting in Darul Ulooms, who might not be aware with regard to it, he had written at that time, and he had said, a time will come when there will be major blocks in this world, and they will campaign to get the smaller countries under their influence. The smaller countries will become pawns in the hands of the superpowers. And he said, if you are going to break up India into small groups, like whether now it has become India, Pakistan, Bangladesh, then those countries will become pawns of the superpowers. However, if you remain it and keep it as one block, India, Pakistan, Bangladesh, it will become a superpower in its own right. And then you will have greater influence than being carved out into small countries. And that he had written about it even before the Cold War between the Soviet Pact and the NATO, the Pact and the Warsaw Pact between the Soviet Union and America. At that time, the two superpowers who then started casting the influence upon smaller nations and exploited the smaller nations for their own benefit because they were too small to be able to rise up against the superpowers. And he said, if you keep it as one country, you will become a superpower in your own right.
Well, you know, while we had the formation of Pakistan and the difference of opinion, I remember reading quite a bit in Apeti about it, and that one amazing aspect that we learned from them and among the scholars is the mutual respect that they had and bade the difference of opinion between them.
You know, there's amazing aspect with regard to this. You know, one of the very famous incidents which I just like to make mention of is Maulana Madni Rahmatullah Ali one day went to go and visit Maulana Thanvi Rahmatullah Ali. And when he went to go and visit Maulana Thanvi Rahmatullah Ali, he came at a time when in Thana Bhawan, the Khanka, the spiritual retreat of Maulana Thanvi Rahmatullah Ali, Maulana Thanvi Rahmatullah Ali was a man of great principles. So he used to close the Khanka gate at a particular time. The doors of the spiritual retreat were closed at a particular time, maybe 10 o'clock, 11 o'clock. And Muhammadin Rahmatullah Ali came after that. So Muhammadin Rahmatullah Ali, whenever he used to travel, Maulana Madni Rahmatullah Ali used to travel with his small sleeping bag. So he kept his sleeping bag outside on the door of the Khanka and he started sleeping. When Maulana Thanvi Rahmatullah Ali came for Fajr, he saw someone sleeping there and he said, who is it? He was surprised to see Maulana Hussain Ahmad Mahdi Rahmatullah Ali. And then he afterwards said, why didn't you tell me that you are coming? And Maulana Madni Rahmatullah Ali gave an amazing reply. He said, does anyone tells the people of his house that he's coming home? I'm coming to my own house. Why should I tell you? Why should I inform you with regard to my coming? I'm coming to my own house. So Maulana Khamenei Rahmatullahi became very, very pleased with that. And then, of course, they sat for a little while. At the time of, you know, before the time for eating came, Maulana Khamenei said, what would you like to eat? So Maulana Rahmatullahi said, I love carrot achar, you know. So Maulana Khamenei Rahmatullahi made arrangements to have the roti and with the carrot achar. And then afterwards, as they were going, Maulana Khamenei Rahmatullahi said, I would like to give you a gift. I would like to give you a turban. And he bought a turban. But in that particular turban, look at the respect. In that turban, it was made from cloth that was made from England. Maulana Madni Rahmatullahi Ali was not only someone who fought against the British, but he had principle. And part of his principle was he didn't wear anything that came from that country. So he said, you know, I don't wear this particular type of turban. Maulana Rahmatullahi Ali said, sorry, I do realize your principles, but I overlooked it. And then he got another turban, which was made from indigenous cloth. And he made it and put it on the head of Muhammad bin Rahmatullah Ali, and in that way he went out. So this was the respect they had, irrespective of the difference of opinion, with regard to such a major issue like the formation of Pakistan.
Respected listeners, you're listening to the Ulama Profile, and we have Maulana Baham on the line. We're speaking with regard to the life of Maulana Hussein Ahmad Madni Rahimahullah. If you would like to make input or you would like to send a message or something, Maulana Baham's number 083-786-2859. My number is 071-878-9748. And inshallah, we would like to read your messages and we would like to share your views with regards to the great scholars of Maulana Hussein Ahmad Madani Rahimahullah. Just to give a quick brief before we go on, we discussed and we started speaking about the life of Maulana Madani Rahimahullah. At a young age, Maulana got khilafat from Sheikh Ul-Hind Rahimahullah. Maulana spent a lot of time, approximately 80 years, doing the teaching of ahadith, and there are many incidents with regards to this in the Masjid al-Nabawi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Maulana, one of his specialities was that he was a complete personality. Imam Abul Hassan Nadwi Rahimahullah has written with regards to this. Maulana was a scholar, Maulana was a spiritual mentor, Maulana was a freedom fighter, and like that, Maulana had many, he was a jack of all trades and a master of all as well. With that, Maulana has written a book, Naqsh-e Hayat. Besides being his autobiography, it was a book with great vision regarding some of the issues in politics that is going to plan itself out. Maulana was very much supportive of the Khilafat movement and tried his level best to support the Ottoman Empire prior to it falling, and Maulana and them also made an effort to send some funds towards the seer. Part of Maulana's goals are that he was looking at common harmony between people of the same country. That citizens are not enemies unto one another. The enemies are the colonialists that would try and come and break that harmony that was there. Maulana's level of respect among those that differed with him was also tremendous and great, and these are some of the aspects with regards to that. If a person was to read Fazail al-A'mal, or if a person was to read the Abbati, one thing that you would find is with Maulana being a spiritual mentor, with him being so much in politics, Maulana, he was very much a supporter of the work of Dawat and Tabligh, with Maulana Ilyas Rahmatullahi Alayh.
Yes, Maulana, one thing I would just like to say that after that particular aspect, then Maulana Madni Rahmatullahi Alayh, after the fall of the Ottoman Khilafat, and then of course when they came about the aspect of the formation of Pakistan, and when the formation of Pakistan seemed to have become a reality, then Maulana Madni Rahmatullah Ali made a statement that was widely criticized at the time. And Maulana Madni Rahmatullah Ali said, Kome otan se banti hai. Nations are made by the countries in which you are living. So a time will come, and perhaps he was ahead of his time, and he said, nations would be recognized by your territorial location. Right? At that time when he made it, it seemed very, very different from the aspiration of people who were still feeling that we are still supposed to be under one khilafat. We are supposed to be under one particular type of central authority. Now, while that might be the ideal, the fact of the matter is that things were changing. And Maulana Madni Rahmatullahi Ali understood that. Therefore, he wrote a book, Composite Nationalism. And this Composite Nationalism is an amazing book. When today people talk of pluralism, and people talk about peaceful harmony between communities and people of different ethnic backgrounds and different races and different faith groups in one country living in peace and harmony. Maulana Madni Rahmatullah Ali had written that book some 60, 70 years back, if not more than that. And he wrote this book, Composite Nationalism. And he spoke about this. At that time, Allama Iqbal, the poet, philosopher, had criticized him by saying that you have taken away the aspect that people are recognized by their religion. So Maulana Madni Rahmatullah Ali used to reply to it and said that I'm not talking about religious affiliation. I'm talking that there is a certain degree of affiliation which comes about because of your territorial location, by you being someone who is in the same country like another person. And he gave us a very beautiful example. He said, take this example of a person. Let's just take this example. Someone is going in an airplane from, say, Johannesburg to Karachi, or Johannesburg to Mumbai, or Johannesburg to Dubai. He says that people will go with different reasons, or taking a train from Delhi to Amritsar, or, you know, wherever it is, you know, Karachi to Lahore. He says people will have different intentions from going for that reason. Some will be noble, some will not be noble. But he said, this, irrespective of that particular type of intentions, the fact of the matter is that while they are in the train from one journey to another, one destination to another, it is in the interest of everyone that that plane, that train, and that journey must be peaceful and safe. It must be safe. He said, in a similar manner, we are all as one country, in one journey, in one place. It is in the interest of everyone, just like it is in the interest of every person and every passenger going from one destination to another, that the entire destination and the entire journey be safe. It is in the interest of everyone belonging to one country that everyone strives for their country to be peaceful and harmonious.
In our current situation, Maulana, it's very important we share that vision. Who knows after the state capture how the harmony of the country is going.
It is amazing. And sometimes you just think how Maulana had been making mention with regard to it. There is absolutely, you just sort of stand and marvel at how did he understand the time will come that people will be recognized. Let us face it, when we go for Hajj, what do we say? Where are you staying? I'm staying in the South African camp. You are going for a journey like Hajj, in which there is a unity of the Muslim Ummah that perhaps is not manifested anywhere else, but yet you are recognized by your passport. Now, we're not talking about how it's supposed to be, whether it is the ideal situation, but that is the reality. And Maulana had foreseen this, and he had spoken about it, and he had written this book, Composite Nationalism, by saying a time will come when people will be recognized by the countries in which they live in.
Maulana, one of the things that Maulana would do, and Maulana Suleiman Choksi made mention of this once, he told me, he said, you know, Hazrat Shaykh Rahmatullah Ali said, that from the ulama fraternity, the one that has the true right to read what's happening in the newspapers is Maulana Hussein Ahmad Madani. So then he explained and he said, that because as ulama, once a person would read the newspaper, he would feel helpless of what to do. But because of Maulana's social work and his involvement in the society, if he had to see some place where people were distressed, especially the Muslims, he had that amount of energy in him and that amount of concern to be able to make a meaningful change, albeit maybe in another place in India, to the Muslims of the locality. Something that is sorely missed in our area, Maulana.
Maulana, not only with regard to what has happened in India, if you were to read when Maulana Madni Rahmatullah was in Medina, how he interacted with people from North Africa to be able to bring about stability and Muslim identity. It is absolutely amazing. So yes, and then of course, after that, when just talking about the political change, after understanding, fighting for resisting the British, then being pro-Ottoman, Khilafat, thereafter wanting that the entire Indo-Pakistan subcontinent, for reasons which I have made mention, must remain one particular block. And then afterwards, then when the formation of Pakistan, then Maulana Madni Rahmatullah Ali became someone, you know, when people used to ask him with regard to Pakistan, he used to say, now that Pakistan has been formed, now it is our duty and our responsibility and our dua that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala must give it peace and security, and there must be peace in Pakistan. You know,
Maulana, one of the listeners asking a question, Did Maulana Madani come to South Africa in the early 60s?
No, Maulana Madani Rahmatullah Ali passed away much before that. He passed away just after after independence, I think in the early 50s or something like that, Maulana Madni Rahmatullah Ali passed away.
Maulana, with regards to the aspect of Maulana Madni Rahmatullah Ali's personal life, just maybe two, three aspects before we have about 10 minutes to conclude.
Okay, just one quickly. One of the very famous incidents of him was in Khalik Dinner Hall, when he, of course, a very famous incident which our people, ulama, like to make mention of, and that is that during the course of, when he'd given a fatwa that to cooperate with the British is haram. So when he came to Khalik Dinner Hall, he was charged with treason. And of course we know that treason is amountable to death. So he was asked with regard to it, did you give this fatwa? And do you know the repercussions with regard to this fatwa, that for you to say that to cooperate with the British is haram, it is equivalent to treason, and do you know what is the result and the punishment with regard to it? And Maulana Madni Rahmatullah Ali turned around and said, yes, I am fully cognizant of that, and therefore I have brought my kafan, my shroud with me from Deoband, that if that is the punishment I have to bear, I will bear the punishment, but I will not back down from my fatwa, and that is that it is haram to cooperate with the British because of the aspirations in the Indo-Pak subcontinent. Then another aspect, I will just make mention of what Maulana Madni Rahmatullah Ali has written, and talking about being an activist. You know, once there was, you know, riots in India, and Maulana Madni Rahmatullah Ali picked up the phone and phoned the head of the police and said, see, we are staying back in India as equal citizens. We have been told that our life would be safe. Now we hear that there is riots. Either you come to the party and help us as law-abiding citizens to protect the Muslims. Otherwise, don't force us to come out on the street and protect ourselves. Then you will say that we have taken the law in our own hands. You know, Maulana Nadwi Rahmatullah Ali had said, after 47, India mein musalmano ke baqa aur qiyam ka ek bara zahiri sabab Maulana Rahmatullah Ali ki hasti thi.
Subhanallah.
The Muslims remaining in India after partition, it is to a great degree to the personality of Maulana Madni Rahmatullah Ali. He used to go village to village telling people, remain in India. Now that people who have gone to Pakistan, they have gone, you have to keep your iman while you are in India, because it's impossible for everyone to go into Pakistan. It was millions of people. So many of them remain in their homes. Maulana Abdullah Kapodri used to relate this, and he wrote it. And one day when he came to the Jamiat office, I asked him, Maulana, I have heard and I have read what you have written, but I would like to hear the story from your own mouth. So he said, I was 12 years of age when Maulana Madni Rahmatullah Ali toured Gujarat, and he went village to village to tell people that you remain where you are and you keep steadfast to your iman, and you are equal citizens in this new dispensation, in a secular order. And Maulana Madni Rahmatullah Ali, he supported the secularism of India, saying in that particular disposition, there is the greatest safety of life for the Muslims. And he went, you know, village to village. Maulana Abdullah Kapodri said, I asked the people who were his host, allow me to sleep in his room. Allow me to sleep in his room just to see how Maulana Madni Rahmatullah Ali remains and how does he spend his night. So he said he came in the late hours of the night to early hours of the morning. There was a very beautiful bed prepared for him, but Maulana Madni Rahmatullah Ali had that particular type of sleeping bag. He took out his own sleeping bag. He slept on the floor. And he said, I was young. I was very tired and I slept. And in the early hours of the morning, I heard a crying that you cannot imagine. And in that particular crying, he says, I heard Maulana Madni Rahmatullah Ali crying for the protection of the Muslims. And I said, oh Allah, protect the life of the Muslims. Ya Allah, you protect them, you help them. Maulana Manzoor Ahmad Nomani Rahmatullah Ali used to said, during my life, I have heard no one else weeping so much in dua before Allah Ta'ala in the latter part of the night as I have heard Maulana Rahmatullah Ali, Maulana Madni Rahmatullah Ali and my father. Very often, in spite of my deep sleep, I used to be awoken up by the crying of Maulana Madni Rahmatullah Ali. And he would recite his du'as with so much pain and sorrow. I was someone that I couldn't understand his du'as, but the wailing and crying still echoes in my ears. It was almost like a child who was receiving punishment and he was crying. As much courage as Hazrat had, as brave as he was, and much as he encountered ordeals, I have not seen this type of crying in front of Almighty Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in any one of my elders. Maulana Manzoor Nu'mani Rahmatullah Ali writes that when you heard the Qunut Nazila of Maulana Madni Rahmatullah Ali, and of course Qunut Nazila is a dua that we read at the time when Muslims are in difficulty. He says, I've never seen anyone reciting the Qunut Nazila like Maulana Madni Rahmatullah Ali. He says that it seems if your heart is going to tear apart when Maulana Madni Rahmatullah Ali used to read the Qunut Nazila. This was with regard to how much, together with being a political activist, together with being someone who was in the political field, together with being someone who resisted, this was his own personal taqwa and piety. That they say when he used to recite Qunut Nazila, Maulana Manzoor Nu'mani Rahmatullah Ali used to say, it seems as if my heart would tear apart because of the conviction and the dard and the passion with which Maulana Madni Rahmatullah Ali used to recite the Qunut Nazila.
SubhanAllah, respected listeners, we're still listening to Maulana Ibrahim Baam on the Ulama Profile, and we're speaking about the life of Maulana Hussein Ahmad Madani Rahimahullah, and obviously the inclusivity of Maulana's qualities with all the aspects that Maulana was involved in, and all the aspects that Maulana was so much busy with, especially Maulana's political involvement and some of the achievements and the vision that he had. Maulana, we have about 7 minutes. Do you want to have some other issues you would like to bring up?
Well, there's many, many aspects, you know. Maulana Abul Wafa Shah Jahanpuri, he written with regard to a book on Maulana Madni Rahmatullah Ali. And he used to say, if someone were to ask me, what is an ideal Islamic lifestyle, I would refer them to the life of Maulana Madni Rahmatullah Ali. His sincerity was such that Maulana Nadwi Rahmatullah Ali writes, the word mukhlis, the word sincere, is used very easily, right? But to read salat with ikhlas is relatively easier than to be in the dunya and to be in the forefront of a political struggle and have ikhlas, right? And in this particular regard, he says that after independence, given his great amount of sacrifice for the sake of the independence, he was given a special award. And Maulana Madni Rahmatullah Ali, due to his sincerity, he refused to take that particular type of award, saying, I did it for the sake of Almighty Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. I do not need it in any way. He refused the civilian award when he was freed from jail after independence. So in this particular way, Maulana Madni Rahmatullah Ali was also known to be a person who was never afraid to make great amount of sacrifices. He used to travel second class, going from place to place in the train. And in one particular aspect, that he said that someone one day told him that, why don't you come to Saharanpur and give a lesson on the seerah of Nabi Karim Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. So he committed himself that every Tuesday he would give a lesson on seerah. And he said, despite the difficulty of traveling at that time, Maulana Madni Rahmatullah Ali used to come every week from Deoband to Saharanpur, go back at 11, 12 o'clock at night, and then after Fajr, he used to then get up of Tahajjud, and after Fajr, Maulana Madni Rahmatullah Ali used to be teaching Hadith in Darul Uloom Deoband. So in this particular way, this was the remarkable aspect. In every way, if you take it, a comprehensive personality, if you want to find amongst the ulama, you will find this in the personality of Maulana Hussein Ahmad Madni Rahmatullah Ali.
Maulana, jazakallah so much for your time this evening, an amazing slot that we've had, much to contemplate about. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, let us live the life of our elders and grant us that visionary that they had.
I mean, this aspect with regard to, and can I tell you another very amazing thing with regard to Maulana Madni Rahmatullah Ali, and this is perhaps something that we, as the ulama, as the Muslim ummah, there have been more kitabs written in the English language. In the Urdu language, there has been quite a few. I see recently almost 7 volumes written on Siyasi diary, on the political diaries of Maulana Madni Rahmatullah Ali, is written in quite a few volumes. But in the English language, there have been more books written on Maulana Madni Rahmatullah Ali and his political philosophy by non-Muslims than what have been written by Muslims. Right. There is, Barbara Metcalf has written with regard to Maulana Madni Rahmatullah Ali. And I wonder what is the reason? Is it because perhaps the fact is that Maulana Madni Rahmatullah Ali's vision, or perhaps his understanding of the world, or perhaps he's getting involved in things that today you and I don't regard as part of deen, but yet he was a senior figure of our Akabirin, and he got involved in these things. But because we are very, perhaps, Wallahu Alam, Allah Ta'ala knows, we are more comfortable in understanding dini activities to be in a particular line. So we are not very comfortable with regard to when we are faced with how Maulana Madni Rahmatullah Ali, despite the fact that on one hand, he was had his taqwa, he has his piety, we speak about the Qunut-e Nazila, we speak about all his, you know, various aspects of teaching hadith, and all of that. Yet at the same time, he was also politically active. He was also in the forefront with regard to matters of the country. Perhaps maybe we cannot reconcile the two. We have not been able to pay enough attention to the life of Muhammad bin Rahmatullah Ali, which I think is one of the crying needs of scholars to be able to study it and to emulate it in practice and in practical implementation.
Most definitely so, Maulana. It's so much to digest for 1 hour. And it's perhaps, is it perhaps, Maulana, we haven't seen that political hostility in our time, or is it maybe something beyond that?
Wallahu alam, perhaps we are complacent, we have not been able to face the challenges that perhaps other countries have been able to face. And maybe in that particular regard, maybe they saw the need for it, maybe they understood the comprehensiveness of the deen. The deen is also part and parcel of deen, together with it being our salat, our ibadat, our mu'asharat, a very important part of deen. لَقَدْ رَسَلْنَا وَرُسُلُنَا بِالْبَيِّنَاتِ وَأَنزَلْنَا مَعَوْمُ الْكِتَابَ وَالْمِيزَانِ لِيَقُومَ النَّاسُ بِالْقِسْطِ. Allah has sent down the Quran so that humanity can live with justice with one another. That is one of the ideals and the practical reason and objective of the revelation of the Holy Quran. Perhaps, maybe that aspect, we have not been able to give it the importance that we are supposed to give it.
And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala knows best. Maulana, your final remarks for today's program before we close, Maulana?
Maulana, I think in today's time, if we have to look at, the need of the hour, perhaps, maybe when we look at the situation throughout the world, what is happening, maybe the example of Muhammad bin Rahmatullah Ali, because of his comprehensive personality, because of his dynamic personality, in being someone from, you know, being dynamic in every aspect of what he touched and what he did, is something that should be worthy of emulation and something that we should strive towards. First of all, we should look at him with great honor and respect and be able to understand the great role he played, and then strive to emulate that particular type of role.
Inshallah. Jazakallah so much, Maulana.
Jazakumullah.
Next week we discuss your Ustad, Mufti Wali Hassan, Maulana.
Subhanallah. Mufti Wali Hassan Sahib was an Ustad, and not only an Ustad, someone whom we are very close to, and just also another very remarkable person. Let me just speak about one incident that relates to Maulana Badri Rahmatullah Ali. Mufti Wali Hassan Sahib Rahmatullah Ali never used to wear a watch. So one day while we were studying, we asked him that, why are you not wearing a watch? So he said one day while in class, why, he was a student of Muhammad bin Rahmatullah Ali. So he said, while in class, he started looking at the watch. And Maulana bin Rahmatullah Ali rebuked him and said, you are studying hadith and you're looking at the watch.
Yeah,
he said, from that day, I didn't wear a watch.
Allahu Akbar.
Jazakumullah
so much for your time, Maulana.
Jazakumullah.
Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullah. Respected listeners, it was an amazing, jam-packed hour regarding the life of Hazrat Maulana Hussain Ahmad Madani rahimahullah. And we had online with us Maulana Ibrahim Bam discussing it at great length. There's a lot to digest. If you could kindly download the podcast and listen to it, it would make good food for thought for all of us, inshallah. Next week, inshallah, from 8 p.m. to 9 p.m, we have Hazrat Maulana Shabir Ahmad Saludi rahimahullah. If there's anyone that is passionate about Darul Ulum Diyan, and the elders of that is Maulana Shabir Ahmad Saluji, there isn't a being that I've seen who is not as passionate about Maulana as Hazrat Maulana Shabir Ahmad Saluji rahimahullah. We will be speaking to Maulana inshallah. From 9 to 10 we speak to Maulana Zahir Raghi. Maulana's topic inshallah is Mufti Wali Hassan and Maulana Yusuf bin Nuri rahimahullah, and we will be discussing them from 9 p.m. to 10 p.m. From myself, Ubaidullah Boja, Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.